Well, it's time for another Texas Homegrown Music Show. Yours truly here, Maylee Thomas. Today's guest is Mitchell Ferguson. Born and raised in Texas, played music pretty much all of his upbringing, broke out on his own from the family, and now he's doing his own thing, and I dig him. I think you guys are going to, too. So before we bring him on, I'm going to do a song off an old record called Don't Bring Me Down, a song that was written by my good friend Andy Timmons. And, you know, in today's atmosphere, I just think it's important for us to all try to be as positive as we can and lift each other up. So in light of that, I decided to do this song, Don't Bring Me Down. So when we come back, we'll be with Mitchell Ferguson. You guys grab a drink, grab a snack, whatever you need to do to relax and get ready to hear some great stories and great music on Texas Homegrown Music. Texas Homegrown Music with my guest Mitchell Ferguson, and I think we talked about it just a second ago. I've had a lot of your friends on, Mitchell, so I'm so glad I finally got you on this.
Yes, show. I know, me too. I'm very excited. Thanks for having me. I loved listening back through to my buds talking with you. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, well, before we even get into the meat of who you are and what you're all about, let me just say that I love your girlfriend.
Well, my fiance now.
your fiance. Yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to spill the beans.
Oh, yeah. We're spilling them. We're spilling all the beans. Yeah.
Yay.
We got engaged on Christmas Day. We're very, very excited. And I know that y'all have played some shows together. But yeah, she's wonderful.
Well, she's a real, she's a real class act as well. And I'm hoping that this means you guys are going to do some stuff together, because she's got quite a voice and quite a little songwriting ability.
Oh, well. I know. She was born to do it. She's just got one of those gifts and abilities that, you know, that she was born to be a singer and a songwriter. We've actually been playing every Wednesday throughout most of, I think we started doing it in about June. We've been doing every Wednesday over at the Avenue, one of our favorite bars. It's off of Lower Greenville. We've been playing a lot of shows together, and we had a residency that we're still doing now. So we have been playing and writing together a lot. It's great.
Well, good. That's so fantastic. Well, yeah, as you know, my husband and I have been playing music together our whole adult life. I mean, well, not my whole adult life, but we've been together for almost 30 years playing music together. And I can just tell you, in this realm of being an artist and a music artist and playing, it really does help if you're both doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's such a specific career and schedule, and there's a lot of nuances to working as an artist that being a couple that understands it is very, very helpful. And it's nice in that we typically have the same days off, and we're typically working always at the same time, so very grateful for that. It works real well.
Good. Well, so let's just start it up for all these people that don't know who Mitchell Ferguson is and what he's about. Just doing a little bit of research, you know how it is. You can get all kinds of funky information on the web. I'd like to hear it from the horse's mouth. So what would you say was the impetus to get you to playing music?
Well, both of my parents are career musicians. They've been playing music, my whole life. My father is a minister of music. He's been doing a lot of church work, my entire life, still to this day. And my mom is a pianist, so they've always worked together as well. So that was falling in love with Karina is something that I saw that I really admired about my parents' life, of them working together in music. That really got me started, and I'm very, very grateful for their influence, pushing my brother and I, who my brother plays drums in my band as well. So it's been kind of a family affair from the get-go. I've been playing music since I was a kid. As long as I can remember, church choirs and whatnot. But I didn't really get into songwriting until college. I went to school for acting. Both my brother and I did, and we were pursuing that game for a while, but I just kind of felt more of a distinct calling and more of a sense of creative freedom with songwriting and touring and playing in bands. So it's not that I wouldn't hop back into acting, but I've been off of that grid for about 3-4 years now, as I've focused on my writing.
Well, it's certainly still in the realm of possibilities for you. And it's a good thing to have, the desire to do that and the ability to do that, because as you've seen, there's a lot of music artists that have gone into acting,
right?
And certainly can still do both.
Meet
right?
each other. There are days when I'm playing shows and I'm like, man, I graduated with a degree in acting and I have not done any acting in 4 years, but I'm still using all of that training. It's all performance,
Absolutely.
It all feeds in.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Webster University in St. Louis, Missouri. They have a conservatory acting program there. So that was, I graduated in 2016 and pursued that for a minute. And just near the end of my time in college, I really started diving into songwriting more thoroughly. And as soon as I started becoming more of a songwriter, that immediately became my like day in and day out passion that I knew that, okay, this is more me, you know?
So did you start out playing guitar always or do you play other instruments?
Yeah, I started out playing piano. I started playing guitar, I mean, fifth or sixth grade. And then ever since then, just really never really put it down. My dad actually started taking guitar lessons and gave it about 2 weeks and then gave me the guitar and said, okay.
Nice.
Okay. So I'm glad my dad gave it up because then I got it.
That's fantastic. So like a lot of people that I've interviewed in the last few years, you started out in church where you had a built-in crowd and a built-in audience that loves music. They love they love to have that outlet, right? And so that's always fun for artists, especially in today's world. You know, when I started out, it was like you played in church or you didn't play when you were a kid. Because we, you know, unless you were being brought along with a parent that was, you know, sneaking you into the bar here and there. But you didn't have a platform. And it's really nice that a lot of people have found, you know, kind of found their wheelhouse there. But you know, your music, as I listen to it, I mean, I can obviously tell you have a very positive vibe about, you know, very positive energy. But you also seem to recognize a lot of issues that maybe don't necessarily come out of the church.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely songs of mine that you would not play at church, you know, singing about whiskey and weed and stuff like that. But
right.
At the heart of church music and spirituality is all about dealing with your demons and whatever. So I think it's all relative. And also one thing that was really cool about my upbringing with my parents specifically is we did a lot of choir tours. So every summer we would leave to go to some city, all over the country, and we would, you know, play two or three shows a day we're talking nursing homes and shopping malls and stuff, but it really did at a very young age kind of put the tour life kind of into my blood and something that I wanted to continue in my adult life. So when we started touring, which we've done a considerable amount of over the past couple of years, just kind of felt like second nature. I was always kind of already.
Yeah. So being on the road was something that you felt comfortable with. You'd already done it and knew what it was like to live out of a suitcase and out of a bus and, you know, wear the same clothes for four shows because you're in a different place and nobody saw you. Yeah. So
we get stinky and nobody's complained yet.
Well, we're going to play a song in this first segment called Coyotes. Do you want to tell me about it?
Yeah, sure. So I recorded this in St. Louis. It's about people who brag about how much money they make. And there is nothing wrong with making a ton of money. I hope everybody listening to this is extremely prosperous. It's just a matter of keeping hold of your ego when you start you know, breaking into a different tax bracket. There's absolutely nothing wrong with making a considerable amount of wealth. It's just a matter of keeping your cool head about you too. It's also about the value that artists have to remind themselves of, you know, because as you know, you'll deal with promoters and venues and agencies in which you feel like you're not fairly compensated for the amount of work that you've put into it. It's kind of a reminder of, you know, reminding yourself that your time isn't just worth money. It's worth respect in your own mind, I guess. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So Coyotes, so when we come back, we're going to talk to you some more about what you have in your future. I know you're working on a project and you've got some more music coming out. So we'll talk about that. If you're just listening, it's Texas Homegrown Music with my guest, Mitchell Ferguson, singer-songwriter right here from good old Texas. And we'll listen to this song, Coyotes, and then we'll be right back. So we're back with Mitchell Ferguson talking about just life, his new life ahead. He just got engaged with a sweet girl, Karina, and I'm going to have Karina on the show. I know she's working on a record. I think you said you guys are going to start recording in a couple months. And so I'll have her back and I'll have her on the show to talk about that. I was very impressed with her. And I know this is a show about you, but you might as well get ready, because when you're married and you're doing music together, it just kind of flip-flops.
Hey, anyway. She's my favorite thing to talk about. So we can.
Oh, that's good. But the first time I saw her, she captured a room of people that were in there talking and not really paying attention. And as soon as she got up there and started singing, I just loved how everybody stopped and listened. So the girl's got the it, you know what I mean? And it was just so great. I had to go meet her. I went and introduced myself to her and said, "Hey, kiddo." Okay. And, you know, I've told some places about her. I know that she's played some shows here in McKinney. And so I think she's got a great life ahead of her in the music world for sure. And I think it's so neat that you guys are going to do it together.
Me too.
So, well, I'll give it back to Mitchell, but just have to give a little kudos to that. And just to tell you guys, man, just have fun with it, because, you know, how wonderful is it that you both found each other and you're going to make a life of making music and bringing people joy and hope and laughter and some tears sometimes. But what a great life you guys have to embark on.
I know. We are extremely blessed, and I can't wait for the future. And we've already got so many plans. We're hopping into the wedding planning already, and it's she has an extremely large family, and we're very fortunate to have an extremely large group of friends that it's going to be a big one. It's going to be
a big wedding. Well, good thing you guys waited till now. Cause I want to ask, cause you know, this past year has been so crazy, but did the COVID thing put you guys in together a lot more to where you just kind of sped up the process, or you just,
So I mean, obviously March through May, when everything was shut down, we were hunkered down just like everybody else. And we were doing a lot of live streaming together, which was wonderful. We had already been dating for, you know, well over a half a year at that point. But it definitely put us together. We were already spending a ton of time together because we couldn't get enough of each other, but it put us
But then the quarantine happens and you're like, oh, wow.
Right, exactly. It's the two of us. No, but it was great. It was an amazing, we were very fortunate to have each other in that moment. But thankfully, we were very fortunate once Texas
started opening up a little bit. Yeah, at least in the smaller venues. And I want to encourage everybody to understand that, you know, some of my friends are playing some small shows and doing things. But what I love the most, Mitchell, is that so many of you jumped in and started doing the live stream thing and letting people be accessible to you through that medium. And you know, a lot of the older people, they were so afraid. They were afraid to put themselves out there like that. And I think it's great that this generation of you did it so quickly that they all felt like, well, we better get on or we're going to get booted off to the side. People are going to forget who we are if we're not willing to put ourselves out
there. Yeah. And I was talking with one of my buddies recently who he had said, you know, as awful as this year has been, I think that this is the, we're going to look back on 2020 and find that this was actually one of the best years for the independent artist.
Absolutely.
Because you had to make do with what you had. And, you know, it's obviously there's nothing like being in a room with people and
sharing that.
But there is also I fell in love with the streaming aspect. You got to connect with people from all over the world in one room when typically you don't. And we've slowed down on the streaming because our live, you know, in-person performance schedule picked up, but it is something that I really do. And I've recently gotten more of an itch to get back into it, because it is such a great medium. And, I mean,
well, it's a lot more personal than you think though, Mitchell, because, when people come to see you in a show, you're on a stage and, you know, they're in the seats and there's still a disconnect.
Right.
But when somebody comes to you in your home, you feel at home in your place and they're seeing you in your environment,
yeah.
You know, and it's really kind of like, it kind of opens up a whole new way for you to know somebody.
Absolutely.
You get to see their stuff. You get to see, you know, see where they write, because a lot of them are doing it out of their little studios or in their bedrooms, or I've seen some of them in their kitchen while they're actually making something in between.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's the possibilities are limitless for it, and it's a whole art, you know, being able to interact with people in real time and see someone's, you know, request or questions, and
or see their dog walk through,
yeah,
or their cat jump off on their
our cats definitely became featured artists during our live streams. They're not camera shy, so that was fun.
and people love that. I love to see what kind of animals do they have, and what is their relationship like with their, you know, spouse at home, yeah, or their girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. It's just fun. I like it, and I think I'm going to agree with you on the fact that I think that it has been hard on a lot of artists, but at the same time, it's opened them up to a whole new avenue of reaching out to people, and I love it. And I also love the fact that it was something we were able to share globally,
yeah,
not only, you know, just with our neighbors. And as we went through all of these things, we were able to share this globally with our fellow musicians all over the world. And there's not a label out there that could do anything about it.
No, there was a group that I am a member of that has been really amazing to watch grow. I can't remember who it was that invited me to it, but it's this group called the Socially Distant Fest. And I'll have to shoot you an invitation to it, because it's absolutely incredible. When I first joined it in March, I think it was a group of about a couple thousand people. And now I believe there's probably 300,000 members of this group. And the way that it works, you just log on and you go live, just like you do on, you know, typically on Facebook. And then all of a sudden
many of you
have
streams, yeah,
this huge network of people that, you know, these days we're lucky if we get on and, you know, we have 20 to 50 people watching, especially, you know, right, on any given day. You log on onto this page and within a minute you got 250 people watching your video, and it's really, really amazing. And I've watched, you know, some people really dove into it and were on there streaming every single day, but these people, I mean, have developed fan bases. I remember Karina and I did a stream on there one time, and this guy reached out to me. He was a firefighter in New Jersey, and he was like, man, me and all my guys are on a really late shift right now, and I just logged on to this page, and now we're playing y'all's stuff at this station.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Oh, that's what I love about it. You know, that's, we took something that could have really squelched our careers, and we've turned it into something that launches a lot of our independent artists into homes and into places that they normally would not have been in. So that's fantastic. Well, we're getting ready to play another one of your songs, and I want you to talk about it. It's called Vices of Mine. So tell me, what are the vices of yours?
Well, it talks about it in the song. It's really just about whatever your vice may be, whether it be your liquor, whether it be your cannabis, whether it be your people in your lives. It's just all about dealing with the vices that you choose to that choose you.
I was going to say sometimes they choose
right.
us.
And it's just all about, you know, dealing with that battle of am I letting it control me or am I controlling it? But yeah, we recorded this also in St. Louis with my buddy David Beeman. He owns a studio called Native Sound Recorders. Really, really wonderful studio that's produced a lot of great material. Yeah, we released this. This has been out for well over a year now.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't count if it's only been a year, because I'm telling you, you haven't been able to go out and really push
right,
this stuff.
Right.
So the music that people released in 2018, you know, late 2018, late 2019, because you're talking, usually we try to get at least three years out of something, right? Three.
Yeah.
You still got a lot of room to do that. And so, well, we're going to play Vices of Mine with Mitchell Ferguson. If you're just listening, it's Texas Homegrown Music with Maylee Thomas. And we're going to come back. You're going to do a song for us, a live song for us, which I'm really excited about. But more than that, I want to talk about the record that you've got coming up. So let's mention that in a minute, and we'll tell people how they can find you on your social media pages. So when we come back with Texas Homegrown Music with Mitchell Ferguson, and we'll hear another song, but this is called Vices of Mine. We'll be right back.
Another shot, another smoke.
So that was a song by Sean Pittman called Make It Right. We're going to have Sean on the show pretty soon, so you guys be sure to listen up. He is really, really a great blues artist, and I don't know about you guys, but the dude can sing, can't he? Well, there you have it, Mitchell Ferguson. I know you love him, and I know you're going to want to find more of his music, and you can find it out there. He's got lots of stuff there. I think you've got maybe, what, two records out?
Yes. So I've got, let's see, several singles online as well as two EPs. So we've probably got a total of about 12 songs floating around on Spotify and iTunes.
All right. And then you're working on some more stuff now.
Yes, we are. We're actually going into the studio next week, working with a wonderful producer I'm really, really excited to work with, Mr. Taylor Kimball, who produces a ton of stuff for a ton of different artists in the red dirt country and rock scenes, which we're really, really excited for.
Cool. Well, I love that. Well, so if they want to find your stuff, is it MitchellFerguson.com? For info?
Yeah, so actually MitchellFerguson.info. Whenever I made the website, I think that was what was available, and you know.
Okay.
Yeah, .info.
All right, MitchellFerguson.info, and it's two L's on Mitchell.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a Facebook and an Instagram, I'm sure, and just got it all going on, ready to go.
And you know, we're on the TikTok too. So for any of you TikTokers out there, we're hopping on that train.
Got the tick in the top. Well, you're getting ready to do a song called Why, and I know why, because you are awesome and you've got such an infectious, sweet personality. I can already tell that you and Karina are going to be a force to reckon with in the music world, because both of you are so adorable, and I can't wait. I'm going to have you guys come to the sanctuary sometime, so let's talk about that too.
Please.
So Mitchell Ferguson, you guys check him out. He's a Texas boy, and I'm so proud to have him on the show. Thank you so much for coming and doing this show with me, Mitchell. I really appreciate it, and I want to have you back. I'm going to have you and Karina back next time together. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Maylee. This has been wonderful. I'm so grateful.
You got it. So Mitchell Ferguson, a song called Why.
Why is it gotta be like this and that? Why is there a tear drop in
want to close the show today with a song by a good friend of mine named Malford Milligan when he was in the band Storyville. It's a song called Good Day for the Blues, and I just want to give a shout out to you, Malford. I know you miss playing, and I miss it too. I hope to see you really, really soon. We sang a song together, I guess it's been a few years ago at the Guitar Sanctuary, and I can't wait to have you back. So I'm going to close out today and just let everybody know that we miss you, we love you, and your songs never get old. So you guys have a great day. We'll see you soon.
Sometimes you fly so high, you can't find a place to land. Got money in the bank, a drink in your hand. But when the love gets low, someone's gonna lose. 'Cause I love you drifting, and it's a good day.